Have you been worried, maybe anxious a little bit? It seems like these days are requiring more and more of God's grace. We are stressed to the max. I believe it was Time Magazine put out an article and said 69% of people today are saying they're overcommitted, overstressed, overworked, and just overwhelmed. You know what? That's almost three out of every four. One, two, three, four. Three of you overwhelmed. One, two, three, four. Three of you out of four. One, two, three, four. Three of you are feeling overwhelmed. One, two, three, four. Three of you are just one, two. And we go on and on. And do you know that doctors tell us, the medical world, that 75% to 95% of the patients they see are directly related to stress. Stress and anxiety. We'd better get a grip on stress and anxiety, or it'll get a grip on us. And speaking of anxiety, I've mentioned it before, but I need to remind myself, and you need to be reminded too. 40%, hear me now, 40% of your worries. Are you worried today? Have you been worried last week? Is there something on your mind even today? 40% of our worries, never, they're irrelevant. You might as well not, they're not going to happen at all. 40%. 30%, we're told, are things that happened in the past. You can't change them anyway. 12% are criticisms of other people that we worry about. 10% are worries that we have that we can't change anyway. And they're relating to our health, and it really makes our health worse to worry about our health. Only 8% of our worries are legitimate whatsoever. Only 8% of our worries. And you know, speaking of worries, I remember I read an article this week about four men that were in an airplane, Brother Blake. Four men in an airplane. And they only had three parachutes in the plane. The pilot came over the loudspeaker and said, I hate to tell you all this, but we've only got three parachutes, and there's four people in the plane. There was a scientist, the airplane pilot, a Boy Scout, and a preacher. And so the pilot said, hey, look, I'm married, I've got a wife, I've got children, I'm out of here. And he grabbed a parachute and off he went. The second person was a scientist, and he said, hey, look, I'm the smartest person in the world, I'm out of here. He grabbed the parachute and jumped out of the plane. That left the Boy Scout and the preacher, and there was only one parachute. The preacher said to the little boy, the Boy Scout, he said, son, I'm older than you are, and you got a long life to live. Why don't you just take the parachute and jump out? The Boy Scout looked at him and said, preacher, don't worry about it. The smartest man in the world grabbed my knapsack instead of a parachute. There's two left. There's two left. But really, did you hear about the dog, speaking of stress and pressure and worry, did you hear about the dog in Tahoma, Washington? His name was Tattoo, a little basset hound. And this little basset hound was used to going for a walk every day. But this little basset hound wasn't expecting what was about to happen. His leash got caught in the door of his owner's car, and the owner took off with little Tattoo trying to catch up with him. Finally, a police officer saw them running. He was running down the road, sliding and pulling him along. He was tumbling and drugged by the car, and finally, the police officer stopped the owner of the car, and old little Tattoo's little tongue was sticking out, and he was all skin up on his side. You ever feel like that in life? That you feel like you're being dragged along. But I want to preach today on the subject God's placed on my heart. I think it'll be an encouragement to you and a challenge. It is well with my soul. Is it well with your soul? Can you say today absolutely positively, it is well with my soul? I want you to know the Bible, this is going to be a blessing to you in the Word of God. The psalmist wrote and said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Can I get an amen? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in a tight place. And then he wrote and said, though, he said, therefore, will not fear, no fear. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and though, he said, the mountains shake with swelling thereof, there is a river There is a river, the streams thereof, he said, shall make glad the city of God, the holy places of the tabernacle of the Most High. And then I love verse 10 of Psalm 46. If you got your Bibles, turn to Psalm 46. Be still and know that I'm God. I'll be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. Psalm chapter 46. The message God's placed in my heart to share with you today is this. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. We sang just a moment ago the chorus to that psalm. Do you know the history of that psalm? Do you know who wrote that psalm? Do you know the background concerning that psalm? The man's name was H.G. Spafford. And it just so happens he was going through a crisis in his life when the Lord inspired him to write the song, It Is Well With My Soul. The first stanza goes something like this. He says in the song, don't worry, I'm not going to try to sing it, but when peace like a river attenteth my way, do you know it, Marie? And sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Do you know the song, Marie? We might have you to sing it in just a little while, so you get ready. And so, in the setting of that song, H.B. Spafford was in the midnight darkness of the soul. But here's where we're going today in the message. There are three reasons why you can remember this Memorial Day weekend that God is our refuge and strength, that God is your hope. You don't have to feel hopeless today. You don't have to feel like you're in this thing alone. You can draw strength and encouragement from God. Is it well with your soul today? There are three reasons. Number one, the first reason is because in Jesus we have strength for the journey. Look at verse 1 of Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We have strength for the journey. And no wonder the psalmist said, therefore will not we fear. We're not going to be afraid. We're not going to cow down. We're not going to give up. We're not going to be afraid because God is our refuge and strength. Let me ask you a question. Is God really your refuge and strength today? Are you drawing strength from Him? Are you depending on Him totally? Are you letting Him fight some of your battles? He says, first, we have strength from the journey. That's in verses 1 and verses 2. And then we move a little further because not only can we face tomorrow with confidence and with great grace because in Jesus He's strength for the journey. Number 2, we'll see it in a moment. It's verse 4. And it's this, there's hope for hard times. How many of you are going through a hard time now? Maybe you say, man, I just don't have enough money at the end of the month to pay all my bills. Maybe you're saying today that, you know, I've got some physical problems and I just don't know if I'm going to make it through. Maybe you're saying that there's a relationship issue in my family and I just can't fix the problem. Hope for hard times. I love verse 4 where the psalmist said, really found in verse 2, he said, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, and though the waters thereof roar and are troubled, and though the mountains shake with swelling thereof. I love verse 4. There is a river. Underline that. There is a river. Oh, brother, I'm telling you, this is shouting ground right here. There is a river. The streams whereof, he said, shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the, look at verse 6, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Oh no, God shall help her, and that right early. No wonder Martin Luther penned the words to that mighty fortress is our God. And then number 3, there's a third reason found the Lord quickened in my heart why we can face tomorrow and we can have hope in seemingly hopeless times. Number 3, we'll see it in the text in just a little while, is found in verse 10. There is rest all along the way. In Jesus, not only do we have strength for the journey, verses 1, 3, and through verse 3, but secondly, there's hope in hard times, verse 4. And then, that's verse 4 and 5 and 6. But then not only do we have hope in hard times, number three, there's rest all along the way. And that's found in verse 10. Be still and know that I'm God. That is rest in Him. How many of you today are troubled? Your mind is wandering in different directions. You've got anxiety on your heart and you can't stay focused. And you've got problems you're trying to resolve by yourself. And you've got maybe some conflict resolution in your heart about stuff that's happened in the past. And you just need to let it go and move on with God. Well, number one, the first reason we can face our future with confidence is because in Jesus there is strength for the journey. How many believe today there's strength for the journey in Jesus? You might have a physical problem back there, Beth, and I know that you got something going on, but praise God, there's a victory in Jesus, brother. There's victory in Jesus. Richard, there's victory in Jesus. I know there is. And I don't know, Brother David, all of your limitations, but I know this. I know God's grace is sufficient, Susie. I believe it's sufficient. In fact, I've tasted the grace of God. Anybody today need to get a little taste of God's grace? Kevin, I don't know what all the next months are going to hold, but I know Sabrina and Blake, I know that God's going to be able to see you through whatever storm you face. Amen. And amen. And my God can. Now your God may not be big enough, but praise God, my God can do anything but fail. Amen and amen, and bless His holy name. Number one, in Jesus there's strength for the journey. God is our refuge and strength. God is our source of enablement. God's got all power. You know, sometimes we think we've got enough strength, but we really don't have enough strength. Two places. Number one, He gives us strength to face our fears. He gives us strength. Do you see that in the text? Number two, He gives us strength to feed our faith. Number one, He gives us strength to face our fears. You see that in verse 1 and 2? God is our refuge and strength, every present help and trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. We're not going to let the devil win. We're not going to be intimidated by the enemy. How many have read in the Bible where Paul wrote that God's not given us a spirit of fear, but what? Of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Is there anybody here that rise up and say, you know, I have been afraid of and fearing the future. I've been worried about when I'm going to be able to make my ends meet. I've been just consumed about my health and if I'm going to be able to do this and that. Today, God, I believe, is saying to some of us today that face your fears, fight your fears, forget your fears, because thank God, greater is He that is in me than He that is in the world. Is there anybody here that's going to dare to believe God? Is there anybody here that's going to say, bless God, I might not be able to explain it all, I might not be able to understand it all, but I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Amen and amen. Fight your fears, face your fears. And you see, fears are real. Did you hear about the little boy that was afraid of the dark and he didn't want to go outside? His mama said, son, go out there and get the broom. It was on the back porch. It was pitch black dark, and the little boy was afraid, deathly afraid of the dark. She said, son, I want you to go get the broom. He said, Mama, I'm scared of the dark. He said, I'm afraid to go out in the backyard. It's dark out there. She said, honey, she said, don't worry about that. Jesus is with you. Jesus is everywhere. She said, now go on, get at the broom. He said, Mama, I'm still scared. He walked out there. He took a little peek out in the back. He ran back inside and said, Mama, I'm scared, little old boy. She said, Jesus is with you. Jesus is everywhere, son. Go get the broom. And so he came back and he looked out there. It was still dark. It was still scary out there. So he ran back to his mom and said, Mama, I'm scared. She said, I told you Jesus is everywhere. Go get the broom. So the little boy opened the door and he said, Jesus, if you're out there, hand me the broom. What are you afraid of? You know, a lot of things we're afraid of never happen at all. Did you hear about the man that was deathly afraid of being paralyzed? Every time he'd think about it, he said, oh, he'd wake up in the morning. He said, I'm going to be paralyzed. He'd think about it at lunchtime. He'd think about it in the noon. He'd think about it at supper time. And every once in a while, he'd pinch his leg to say, I'm not paralyzed. One day, he, unbeknownst to himself, was sitting around the table, and the thought occurred to him, you're going to be paralyzed. So he started pinching his leg. And he said, I knew it was going to happen. He dropped his head. He said, I knew it was going to happen. I knew it was going to happen. I knew it was going to happen. He was mumbling that under his breath. And the lady sitting beside him said, sir, that might help you to know that's my leg you're pinching. It's not yours. Fight your fear. Feed your faith. You see, sometimes we think that we can carry our problems, but we can't carry our problems. I heard about a little boy that had a big, heavy object out in the backyard, and he was going to try to pick that thing up. But he was straining with that thing. He was struggling with that thing. He was trying to pick it up, and he couldn't do it. His daddy said, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "Daddy, I'm trying to pick this up." The daddy said, "Are you using all your strength?" He said, "I'm using all my strength, Daddy." The daddy said, "Son, you're not using all your strength." He said, "Because," the daddy said, "because my strength is your strength." And he said, "What I've got, my strength is yours." And that daddy came over there with that boy, the boy on one side and the daddy on the other side. And that daddy picked up that object. I want you to know our Heavenly Father's the same way. Sometimes there's some things we think we can pick up. We can't do it. But thank God, God is our refuge and strength, the very present. Help in trouble. God said, "I'll enable you to face tomorrow. I'll enable you to be more than a conqueror." Is there anybody here that you've been trying to face some battles in your own strength? I've got good news for you. God is our refuge and strength. Elohim God. He's sovereign God. He's the great I am. He's the one who was and is to come. And there's no shadow of turning in him. He's got all power in his hand. Brother, I'm talking about a living God. I'm talking about a God who can speak into existence. And everything was there. God is God. And there's nothing too hard for our God. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Nothing's too hard. Will you let him carry that load you got today? Will you put it on him? He'll carry it if you let him. Number one, the strength for the journey. My stepmom's mom has been delivered a death sentence. I told you all that and asked you to pray for her. She went to the doctor unknowing to herself her physical condition. They said, "You've got cancer." This has been about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. They said, "We're sorry to tell you this. It's all in your brain. It's all in your bones. It's all over your body. Nothing we can do about it." Now, how many know that's a death sentence? How many know that's enough to knock the wind out of your sail? What would you do if you were handed that death sentence? She said, praise God, she's a Christian. And she said, "I'm ready to go." "Are you ready to go? Do you know that you know that you know? We're not promised of tomorrow." Well, I went down 2 weeks ago today. 2 weeks ago was Mother's Day. I went down after church, and I did not know what I would expect. I walked in the room. She's down in Macon, Georgia. She had been in the Macon Medical Center taking radiation treatments. I walked in the room and saw her sitting there with her Bible. She had her Bible out. She was just reading her Bible. And as I walked in, my dad was there, my stepmom was there, and she was there. She said, "Pastor," she said, "Preacher, do you mind if we had the Lord's Supper?" I said, "I would be honored to have the Lord's Supper. We got some grape juice and got some crackers, and I want you to know God showed up and God showed out." Aren't you glad when God shows up and God shows out? I'm talking about a living God. You just had to have been there. I wish you could have been there. Why, I was there. I wish you could have been there. Man, we broke the bread and got the juice, and the glory of God showed up in that place. We began to sing the praises of the Lord. The anointing of the Holy Ghost was there. The power of the risen Christ was there. And you just knew that you were in face to face with the living God. We began to praise God. We began to pray and just shout the victory. I'm talking about, "It is well with my soul." Is it well with your soul? Is it well with your soul? H.T.B. Spafford wrote the second stanza of that song. "Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded our helpless estate and shed his own blood for our soul." Number one, we can say it's well with my soul because there's strength for the journey in Jesus. If you believe that, would you say amen? I said, there's strength in the Lord for the journey. Number two, not only is there strength for the journey, but number two, there's hope for hard times. I'm glad to tell you, there's hope for hard times. You don't want to miss this. All this will bless you. This will bless your socks off. This will cause a Presbyterian to shout, amen? This is glorious. I'm talking about this will bless you. Hey, in verse 4, look at it. Notice what the psalmist said, verse 1, "God is our refuge." Verse 1, "God is our refuge and strength." I'm telling you, you can run to him today. I'm telling you, he's got open arms to you today. I'm telling you, he wants you to come to him today. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. "And therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and the mountains cast or carried into the midst of the sea, Though the waters, think about this, what the psalmist is saying. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled. Everything around me is chaotic. Have you ever read the newspaper lately and noticed our world's in a mess? Have you noticed, though the waters therefore roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake thereof, shake, the word of God says, yet, look at verse 4, there is a river. There is a river. I believe it's verse 4, isn't it? Verse 4, there is a river. Underline that. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. You say, Brother Pastor, why are you getting all excited about that? You will too when I tell you the setting behind, no doubt, what the psalmist was penning in those words. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. Oh, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. Some scholars, theologians, believe that this was probably during the time of King, good king, I might add, Hezekiah. It was the year 722 B.C. when the Assyrians invaded the northern kingdom of Israel and overthrew the kingdom. Just after that event, as you recall, the kingdom had been divided into two kingdoms, northern kingdom, southern kingdom. The southern kingdom was Judah. There was a king by the name of King Hezekiah that was king over the southern kingdom of Judah. Hang with me. And King Hezekiah decided, long before the Assyrians would invade the southern kingdom of Judah, that he would, watch this, he would tap into a water source, a spring called the Gion Spring outside of Jerusalem. It flows all the time. It's over in the Kidron Valley. And King Hezekiah was looking ahead. He knew that the Assyrians would be invading the southern kingdom of Judah. And therefore, he tapped into this resource, this river, if you will. He hewned out, had his men to hewn out in rock. It's a large conduit, 1,777 feet from outside of Jerusalem. Underground, he hewned out this conduit, this source to bring the fresh water into the city of Jerusalem. He built a reservoir to house the water. And meanwhile, when the Assyrians, under the reign of Sennacherib, surrounded the city, they thought they had them. They thought they had them. They said, we've got them now. But they thought they would dry them out. They thought that that city of Jerusalem with King Hezekiah and Judah, that they would overthrow the kingdom. But no, there is a river. There is a river. There's a stream whereof shall make glad the city of God. God in His sovereignty, in His omnipotence, in His omniscience, in His omnipresence, God Almighty provided a source for the people of God. And when the Assyrians encamped around and about the city of Jerusalem, trying to dry them up, trying to drive them out, trying to kill them, God sustained His people. Can you hear me okay? I'm talking about a God who knows how to bring some streams in your life. I'm talking about a God that will do the same. Has the enemy tried to dry your spiritual life up? Has the devil put his angelic evil host around you to try to discourage you this week and try to condemn you this week and try to say that it's no use. It's no use of serving God. It's no use of getting right with God. Why, I'm going to kill you anyway, says the devil. By the way, the devil's killing a bunch of folks now. Left and right. All over us. People committing suicide. Young people. Not just older people. Why? They're giving up. They say life is not worth it. And they just are giving up and taking their life, thinking that this is the answer. The devil's a liar. How many know the devil's a liar? He's come to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus came to give us life and give it more abundantly. I'm saying this. There is a river. I'm telling you, there's a river. You know the river I'm talking about? Do you know the river I'm talking about? There's a stream thereof shall make the city of God glad. I'm talking about Jesus is the river. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Jesus said, ho, if any man thirst, let him come and drink. He that believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. John 7, 38 and 37 and 38. That is, This he spake of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about when stress comes. I'm talking about when worry starts knocking on your door. Just draw from the river Jesus. He's a source that'll never run dry. In Christ we can do all things. In him we live and move and have our being. In him we have all that abound. Let the devil hit us with his best shot. Let the world come at us left and right. Thank God we got a refuge. We got a Savior who will never leave us, nor forsake us, and he makes us more than conquerors in him. I'm talking about a God who will see us through hard times. Amen. This is for somebody. This is for somebody, Kelly. This is from somebody, Tom. This is for somebody, Jordan. This is for somebody, Garrett. You're going to have to draw from that water. You better get them roots. You better get that conduit, because the enemy's going to come in like a flood. Can you hear me, Tyler? I said the enemy's going to come in like a flood, Russell. I said the enemy's going to come in like a flood. He's going to try to rob you of your joy, Marty. He's going to try to rob you. He's going to try to rob you, Lori, of that peace that passes understanding. He's a liar. He's a dirty liar. And thank God we've got a refuge in Jesus. Yes, we do. I'm telling you, he'll hold you steady when you go through the battles. I said he'll hold you steady when you're in the midst of a storm. I said he's got all authority in his hand. All right. There are three ways that we can have hope for hard times. Here they are. Number one, God's provision. There is a river. Number two, God's presence. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. You see it? See it in the text? Number three, God's power. His provisions, his presence, and his power. In 1793, there was a missionary by the name of William Carey. William Carey, by the way, Tyler, was called to the mission field reading Isaiah 54. And there, as a shoe cobbler, William Carey surrendered and said, "Here am I, Lord. I think God wants us to pray for those that are going on the mission trip in just a little while." William Carey heard the call to go to India. William Carey went, 1793. Listen to what happened to him. He was over there for years and years, 20 years of laboring, translating the Bible in readable language for Indians in India. And something happened. His distribution center, his building in which he had all the manuscripts, burned to the ground. It burned to the ground. Now, in those days, they didn't have computers. They couldn't save files as such as we do today. All the printing equipment, all the manuscripts, everything burned to the ground. Now, how would you feel? 20 years of work burned to the ground. I want you to know, he wrote his friend Andrew Murray and said, "Praise God, we're not going to give up. We're not going to let up. We're not going to back up. God's called us to the task. We're going to believe God. We're going to march forward. We're going to rebuild. We're going to see the kingdom of God glorified and Jesus high lifted up." Am I preaching to anybody today? You're about ready to give up. You're about ready to throw in the towel. You're about ready to say, "I can't take it anymore." God says you can take it with him, because there's hope in hard times. In Jesus. I know the devil's lied to you, Cameron. I know he has. I know he's lied to you. I know he's lied to you. Justin, I know he's lied to you and told you you're not going to amount to anything. I know he's lied to you, Chase. I know he's lied to you back there in the back. I know, Weston, he's lied to you and he's told you you're not going to amount to anything. You might as well give up, and you're failing at this and failing at that. I came to tell you today, there's a refuge in God. I can't hear you. And so, William Carey persevered. No wonder H.B. Spafford wrote that third stanza. "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought." I love it. "My sin, not in part, but," help me out, "the whole," what, Marie? "Was nailed to the cross." And go ahead. "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul." Let's sing it together. "It is well with my soul.
It is well, it is well with my soul.
Tell me, is it really well with your soul? Have you been really troubled and just burdened down this week? You know what I'm talking about. Is it really well with your soul? Is it? That leads us to our third reason why we can have hope for tomorrow, strength for today. Number three, if you'll notice in the text, not only do we have strength for the journey in Jesus, verses 1 through 3, but we also have, thanks be to God, we have hope for hard times, verses 4, 5, and 6. God is in the midst of her. We shall not be moved. She shall not be moved. God will help her, and that right early. I'm glad God is God. He will not share his glory with another. Number three, there's rest all along the way. That's verse 10. Do you hear me? Rest. R-E-S-T. How many of you need rest? You're tired. It's been hot. You've got a lot to do. Rest in the work. Not rest from work, but rest in the work. I'm glad to tell you, there's a rest that remains to the people of God. I'm glad to tell you that Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." Matthew 11, 28 through 30. "Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy, my burden is light." There's rest all along the way. What do I mean? What do you mean, Brother Pastor? What are you talking about? Number one, there's rest in his security. Number two, there's rest in his victory. And number three, there's rest in eternity. You got it? Number one, there's rest in his security. And then there's rest in his victory. And finally, there's rest in eternity with him. One, there's rest in his security. Where's your security? Is it in houses? Is it in lands? Is it in stocks? Is it in bonds? Is it in Social Security? Is it in retirement? Is it in your health? Is it in your job? Is it in your family? Can I suggest to you, all of the above can be gone in a moment. Sure. Your land can be gone. Your house can be gone. Your retirement can be gone. Your Social Security can be gone. Your help can be gone. Can I suggest to you today, our security had better be rooted and founded in something that will not change. The Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible does not change. We can put our security in Him because, thank God, in Him we're made complete. Where's your security? Today there needs to be a transfer of that security, doesn't it? You know, Lord, I've been putting my security in my job. I've been putting my security in my paycheck. Lord, I've been putting my security in my land and houses. And all of a sudden, I realize my security ought to be in you. There's rest all along the way. Speaking of security, have you ever heard of a rock badger? A rock badger is gray, and a rock badger lives, that's an animal if you're wondering, it lives among the rocks. A rock badger is gray in color, and it kind of camouflages with the rocks. And you know the story about the rock badger. The rock badger, if the rock badger wanders too far away from the rocks, its security, guess what will happen? An eagle or a buzzard will see that rock badger and swoop down and devour that rock badger. If it wanders too far from its security, can I suggest to you that if we wander too far from our security, the devil's dirty birds will swoop down and try to devour you. Right here is our security. Tell me, do you just put your Bible up on the shelf, on your truck, or on your car until the next Sunday? Or do you just put it up on your dresser and don't take time to read it until Sunday? Do you even have a Bible? Where's your Bible? Can I suggest to you, if we get too far away from our security, the rock of ages, the devil is going to come in like a flood.
Some of us today need to rebuild those broken down walls, don't we? Lord, I'm not talking about legalism here. I'm talking about love for the Lord. Our security is in the Word of God. Our security is in that love relationship with Jesus. It's in Him. We are accepted and beloved. Have you been spending time with the Lord lately? Have you been spending time at the throne of grace lately? That's where you're secure. No wonder you're stressed. No wonder we're troubled. No wonder we're worried. We've not been drawing from our resource. Being God's our refuge and strength of every present help and trouble. Where's your security? Security. Be still. Be still. Stop striving in the flesh. Be still. Know that I'm God. Well, I'm troubled about this. I can't fix this. And I be still and know that I'm God. How many just need God to say, be still, know that I'm God? Rest in His security, rest in His victory. We won't labor that. And then finally, rest in His eternity. I'll close with this story. Horatio G. Spafford, 1873. He was living in Chicago at the time, and he wanted to go visit his friend, Dwight L. Moody. In England, he was preaching a revival meeting. He and his wife, Horatio G. Spafford, who wrote that song, It Is Well With My Soul. He had some business transactions to do, and therefore he was not able to make the trip, but he told his wife, Anne, and their four children, 11, 9, 7, and 2. Anne Spafford and their four children were to sail to England to hear Dwight L. Moody. They left, and in the ship, in the midst of the voyage, November the 22nd, 1873, the ship collided with another ship, and consequently, a gash was ripped down the side. 12 minutes, that ship sunk to the bottom of that icy Atlantic Ocean. Meanwhile, before it sank, Anne Spafford grabbed a hold of those four children. Can you get the picture in your mind's eye? Oh, what a tragedy. She grabs the children. She prays for them as the ship's going down, down, down. And three of the children were swept away in the icy waters, never to see them again. Meanwhile, she clung tenaciously to that little girl, the youngest of them all, at 2 years old. And she held as long as she could until finally the waves knocked her little baby. And she disappeared in the icy waters. Anne Spafford grabbed a hold of something she found floating in the water and held on for dear life. Near death, she was finally rescued. H.B. Spafford in Chicago heard about the incident. 10 days went by. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Have you ever been there? Not knowing the fate of his wife and his four daughters. And finally he received a telegraph 10 days later that stated, saved alone, saved alone. His wife Anne wrote a telegraph. It was in the midnight darkness of the soul. H.B. Spafford sailed to meet his grieving wife. And in the midst of the voyage, the captain of the ship stopped and said, there is where the ship went down. H.B. Spafford stood on a bridge overlooking the water, reflecting on what took the lives of four of his children. And he wondered, as he grieved in his heart, will I ever see him again? And he sat down and he wrote that last stanza. That last stanza. And here's how it goes. And Lord, haste the day when the faint shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. Listen.
The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul.
Let's stand together as we sing it.
It is well with my soul. It is well.
Can you say it's well with your soul today?